Hey, we're going to call the meeting to order. For the record, all the board members are present. Mr. Crowder, can you please lead us in the pledge?
I would be honored. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crowder. Have an announcement here to read. To all our listeners joining by phone tonight, please note that you will be muted for the majority of the meeting. If you would like to unmute yourself to participate in the discussion, please press star 6 on your phone. Please note that the meeting host may mute and or unmute you during the meeting, and then an announcement on your phone will let you know when that happens. Thank you. There was no action to announce in closed session. Comments from board members. Mr. Davis.
Yeah, the only comment I have is that I know everyone is feeling the stress of doing the distance learning along with the fires and the pandemic. And I just hope everybody is taking deep breaths and keeping a happy thought, because this is very tough to get us through. So I really appreciate all the work and the help that both the district office and all our teachers and staff are committing to the district to make it a safe and productive environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Boone?
No comments.
Trustee Allison?
No comments other than, yeah, we're dealing with a lot, but we can handle it.
Thank you. Trustee Fleury?
Yes, I would like to thank our employees. These are unprecedented times. And I know it's created a lot of stress just listening. And I know they're trying very, very hard to do their best because we're in uncharted waters. And I would like to, especially the technology department, are just loaded trying to do with this distant learning. I hear other districts are having the same problems, trying to make sure their technology is working, and they're doing a great job in our technology department. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Trustee Scott.
No comment.
Trustee Crowder.
I would just like to say to all of our employees, we are going to get through this. I know that sounds stunning in 2020 when just when you think it's all over and the state catches fire and the hurricanes hit the East Coast and on, but I do believe there's a brighter future for all of us ahead, and hopefully we'll see our kids and our little ones and everyone back to a normalcy here sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Williams, could you share the screen for me? So this is our district logo that has stood for the test of time. Mr. Phoenix shared the history of the logo in his July 9, 2019 superintendent's message. In short, it was developed through a community contest that Superintendent Pete Pillsbury launched to show the interlocking connection between school, family, and community. It was a parent from the foothills and a teacher from the valley that produced the logo. During our last meeting, I shared some thoughts regarding the essential workers of MJUSD, the school portion. This meeting, I would like to expand my thoughts to two others. First, community. I want to thank all the community workers who go to work every day to support us. The first responders who put their lives on the line every day to protect us. The healthcare workers that go to work daily to provide services to us. Law enforcement that reports the calls at all hours to protect us. The clerks at the retail stores that allow us to purchase our essential needs. The restaurant workers that provide food for us. Every community member that goes to work daily to support each of us. This thought of community hit home with me on August 12th, the first day of school. I had an ophthalmology appointment, and the nurse and I were talking that morning, and she was very appreciative of her employer to allow her to come into work a little late that day. So she and her daughter could participate in a Zoom meeting with her daughter's kindergarten teacher at Mary Cobalot Elementary. Here she is helping me while her daughter is attending her first day of kindergarten through Zoom without her mother. I'm sure this type of story is repeated daily for all of us. So thank you to all of our essential community workers. Secondly, as a family, I want to reach out and say thank you to all the family members that are at home working hand in hand with their students' teachers to help facilitate the students' education. Suddenly, family members have been thrust into the role of education facilitators more than ever before. To this level, it is a new role for most, family members, with many unknowns on how to support their students' educational needs. The district recognizes this and is working on a plan to assess family needs and to provide support. So families, if you have any questions, any concerns, or just want to keep your student teacher in the loop as to what is going on at home, please contact him or her. Again, thank you to all of our families for their support in helping facilitate their students' education. During this unprecedented time, the interlocking connection between school, family, and community is more important now than ever. I realize this is a hardship on all during the pandemic, but by working together, a safe and appropriate education can be provided to your students. Thank you. Opportunities for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening. Once again, I'm going to try to keep my comments relatively short because I know we've got an agenda and it's been a long day already for a lot of people and we've got a long week going on. And plus we've got actually some more exciting things further on the agenda. I know that there are people who are really excited to hear about what is going on with the expansion at Arboga. So I've heard about that this week. So once again, I want to take this opportunity first and foremost to thank the dedicated, hardworking, resilient, and rightfully exhausted professional educators of our district. I am, as always, incredibly proud of the amazing educators of Marysville Joint Unified, and I'm truly blessed and honored to count myself among them. We return to the bargaining table again this afternoon in an attempt to reach an agreement on an MOU regarding health and safety. Unfortunately, we remain at odds on two critical issues, the requirement of face coverings for TK through 12th grade and 6 feet social distance between student workspaces. I implore the board yet again to listen to your teachers. Listen to the letters, emails, calls that you have received from people who so value this matter that they made time. Time that is more precious than nearly any other commodity in the lives of teachers right now. To reach out to you. Listen to the professionals who have been, are, and will be in the thick of it. Listen to those of us who want to raise the bar and go just a bit above what the state health department says are the base requirements. Listen to the expertise, the experience, and the concern of your professional educators. Help us protect our students, our teachers, and our community. More than is just merely expected by the baseline of the state. I will end my comments again with another thank you and an expression of sincere gratitude to all of the people, teachers, staff members, students, parents, our tech department, admin, families, all of the people who are working up and well beyond, and working up to and well beyond their limits to make the start of this as unprecedented school year as much of a success as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. Operating engineer, local union number 3. California School Employees Association number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees.
Thank you, President Rasmussen. So real quickly tonight, usually before each school year starts, I try to post something for teachers that's somewhat inspirational or I think goes with what we're dealing with. And this isn't something that I wrote, and there's many iterations, but I just want to take a moment to read it to everybody. So people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. You should love them anyways. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives, but you should do good anyways. If you are successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyways. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyways. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyways. That's easier for Mr. Crawford. The biggest men and women and the biggest ideas cannot be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest ideas. Think big anyways. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for the underdogs anyways. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build it anyways. People really need help, and they may attack you when you help them. Help them anyways. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. But you still have to give the world the best you have anyways. So just a big thank you to everyone and everything you're doing. We'll get there. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisory unit. Public comments. Note the teleconference meeting, for teleconference meeting, please submit public comment card located on the district webpage at www.mjusc.com under board before the board meeting begins. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out the public comment card before the start of the meeting is the secretary, board president, or superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda, or as they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph and Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2.A states no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of the legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. We do have 3 public comments tonight. Our first public comment is from Molly McKay. Molly McKay, are you out there?
It's not center of line. It's now making a difference in the lives of thousands.
We'll give her a second. Molly McKay. Like Molly is not there. Our second public comment is Dennis Kinney. Dennis, are you there? Dennis Kinney. Okay. Our third public comment is from Dan and Heidi Menard. Dan and Heidi Menard, are you there? Okay. Maybe they decided not to make public comment. Okay. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Mr. Seaman?
Together, serving every student, every day, in every way. The last time we met at our last board meeting was on the eve of opening day. And the first day of school was wildly busy, weirdly and very different, and positive. We now have the first 10 school days under our belt, and the challenges have been immense. Last Monday, the first social emotional learning chat in the morning at 8 in the morning, thunder and lightning storms, lightning touchdowns on the campus, power outages, the internet is down. As you know, we went through extreme heat that week, wildfires, and then unhealthy, the hazardous air quality, and positive COVID-19 cases, and people getting used to and learning the health and safety protocols, and then working through the accountability measures, SB 98, for distance learning. We said at the last board meeting that, you know, we have a plan, we're working on our plan. It's coming out of the box, you know, nobody's going to be smooth, but if we hang together, we can face and overcome whatever challenges we run into. And so the first 10 days, the principle that seems to be demonstrated is grit. Just in terms of teachers working through, not everybody, people that people have mentioned here, stakeholders working together, even amid those immense challenges this past week and throughout, in this whole undertaking. And with there's several themes that pop up. One is connectivity. And we ask people to hang in there, and people are. Our technology team is working hard. There are as many as two people undermanned, and their parents seem to be hanging in there, are aware that hotspots or wireless or satellite, that we're working on it, we're working toward it, willing to utilize thumb drives and other means. We appreciate all the patience and effort people are putting into that. Yesterday, Dr. Liu provided some other guidance and has provided guidance on administrative functions versus instructional functions. So we are trying to develop a program to provide for families in the foothills access to, on a very small basis to start, access to classrooms, not for instructional purposes, but gaining internet access so they can access their distance learning. Also with parents, this is new to everybody, and parents are struggling to be teachers as well as to work, and people have been very patient, working hard. Soon we're sending out a survey to parents to identify needs, to develop frequently asked questions, and to help provide training in instruction and working with our instructors of distance learning. Teachers are doing a phenomenal job learning on the run. It's totally new. The system's been the same for 150 years, basically, since the Industrial Revolution. And now we're suddenly changing into this whole new dynamic. And professional development, teachers prior to the year, doing a phenomenal job. And now that we're 10 days in, soon we'll be starting, now that teachers identify, hey, we're starting, what do we need? We want to provide those needs in training right now after school so that it's organic and they're we're learning as we go and we're getting better. Also right now, we're with distance learning. One of the things we heard all summer was if people want distance learning, which needs to be improved and it needs to be better than last year. And part of that is Senate Bill 98 lays some very specific criteria on how we're supposed to measure attendance and student engagement. And And so we are working together to determine that plan. We just got direction from the state, and we're looking to develop that and to implement as early as next week. Also, we have the LCAP. We know the LCAP, Local Control Accountability Plan. And now it's all about distance learning, and it's about the continuity of learning. And so now it's been modified in form, but in the September 8th meeting and the September 22nd meeting, we're going to bring before the board our LCAP, first for a public hearing, and then for approval. And now the LCAP is the learning continuity and attendance plan. So really, how we're using resources and energy and focus toward helping students learn through distance learning. And so with that, there's a process that tomorrow there'll be a survey out to all the stakeholders. That survey will run from August 26th to September 2nd. The plan that we have developed will be posted on the NJUST website. Once we get more feedback from stakeholders, and then and that'll be posted the days in advance of the September 8th board meeting, and then we'll have a public hearing on September 8th, and then the final plan and revisions based on that input will be developed and brought before the board on September 22nd. So all entities are focused, everybody's facing and overcoming adversity, and working together, we're going to be able to enhance distance learning and open up for students that come on campus, which, again, Dr. Liu yesterday created some opportunities for very small in-person strategic instruction that we're looking into, particularly for special ed students, English learners, and counseling services. So together, serving every student every day in every way.
Thank you, Mr. Spina. Next, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 8/11/2020. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? Not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve by Mr. Boone. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boone.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Yes.
Trustee Fleury. Mr. Fleury, you're muted right now. We need to unmute.
Not there. There it is. I have to unmute. His hands on.
There it is. There, you got it there now. Okay, you're good now. So what was your vote, Mr. Fleury?
Yeah. Yeah.
Trustee Scott?
Yeah.
Trustee Schrauber?
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items that board members would like to have call or pull from the consent agenda?
I would just like to make one comment on the consent agenda, if I could, Mr. President. I would really like to congratulate Superintendent Cena and the staff for securing a strengthening career in technical education for the 21st Century Act, almost $120,000. Well done, Gary. Thank you. That's all. I move to approve the consent agenda.
We got a motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Allison.
Second by Mr. Allison. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boone.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Yes.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Trotter.
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have new business. Buildings and Grounds Department. Select core construction for the Arboga School Expansion Conversion Project based on the fee proposal submitted for the pre-construction services, lease-back, and general conditions. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the selection of core construction for the Arboga Elementary School Expansion Conversion to the TKA School Project based on a fee proposal submitted in an amount not to exceed $1,173,000 as paid in the core construction proposal. Mr. Barnett?
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board, Mr. Superintendent Cena. After many hours of review, through the final scoring, we were able to dial down out of 6 applicants, 3. Of the 3, the highest scoring was core construction. I'm absolutely thrilled to go through and introduce you to core. I would like to let the board know that I've done reference checks. I've called on projects that core has completed, along with various different facilities directors from Nevada to California and anywhere they've been, and they've been highly recommended by everybody I've called. I haven't gotten any complaints. So basically at this time, I'd like to introduce to you guys core construction, but before they move forward, I'd also like to inform the board that the next steps on this lease-back, you guys will be presented a final lease-back documents to vote upon. So we'll be coming back to you one more time for final approval of the lease-back documents. But with further ado, I'd like to introduce to you the team of core construction. Seth?
Hi, everyone. My name is Seth Meyer. I'm with Core Construction.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Travis Coombs with Core Construction.
Hi, I'm Michael Keller, Core Construction.
Great, thank you for the introduction. Are you gonna continue talking, Travis, or somebody from CORE talk?
From here, moving forward, I'm gonna go ahead and hand it over to CORE Construction. Tonight, they've put together a little presentation to introduce you guys to the company, give you a little background, and kind of fill you in so you guys can feel comfortable with moving forward. I gotta reiterate again that we definitely did a many hours in scoring and a lot of reference checks to come down to these, come down to the core to be the final selected choice. So I'm really excited to introduce you guys. And I think we'll move forward and I'll go ahead and let CORE go through, and they have a little presentation they put together for the board and the public.
Thank you.
Great. I was really hoping Brian was going to turn this presentation on. I was a little scared that I was in charge of presentation on. So again, we're excited to be here. We're grateful to be here. We understand time is of the essence. So we have about 10 minutes that we'd just like to tell you a little bit about our company and our intentions as serving as the LLB on the Arboga K-8 conversion project. So next slide, please. My name is Seth Maurer. I'm the president of CORE Construction. And joined with me is Travis Coombs, our vice president. Michael Keller is our director of pre-construction. And we have a building partner today with us from Burko Constructors, Matt Roth. Next slide, please. So just a little history on CORE. I hope everybody can hear me okay. The company was founded over 83 years ago, back in 1937. By the gentleman on the far left. His name was Otto Baum. Otto founded the company on those core values of integrity, awareness, continuous improvements, and results, values that are very strong at CORE today. Next slide, please. And from that, we've developed a strong culture founded on team and trust. We have a mission statement, and that's to earn the trust of our employees, building partners, and clients. It's not to be the biggest company. It's not to be the most profitable company. It's to earn and keep that comprehensive trust amongst our employees and then to those that we serve. The values that I spoke of earlier, you can see the shaded portion, integrity and fairness. We see that as a measure of somebody's character. You know, how do they treat others? How do they treat projects? Balanced with the other half of continually improving and in results. I understand how important results are to achieve, but my job is to make sure we never compromise our character to achieve them. And then lastly, the client decides is just a motto that we have. We're very intentional about the clients that we serve, clients that we believe to be in great alignment with, clients that we that value pre-construction services, that value open bookedness and no change orders. And so really, we've identified you as a client. It's our job to best understand how we fit into the clients that we serve. Thus, the client decides. Next slide, please. And really, from those humble beginnings, we've grown into a national builder. Currently, we're ranked the fourth largest school builder in the United States, something that we're very passionate about. We've been on over 1,000 K-12 campuses, and really over half of what we do is for building for education. It is our passion. Next slide, please. And then Michael, if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing some pre-construction services with the group.
Sure. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, everybody, for having us tonight. I'll just be brief about some of our services that we provide. So pre-construction really runs hand-in-hand as your lease-leaseback contractor alongside your design partners. As they're going through the design process, we're working alongside them as a consultant, really, as a tool for the team in order to be able to bring accurate cost estimates, comprehensive scheduling, understanding the bid packaging that's involved with creating, quick, expedient projects to delivery, as well as making sure that we're giving them the appropriate time through design and approvals, making sure that the district gets the best bang for their buck. You know, we start looking at things like safety on an active campus early in pre-construction, identifying and communicating potential risks, exposures, and things like that. And we very clearly identify opportunities to mitigate those risks and exposures, whether we can do that invasively, or if there are, physical barriers or means that we have to create in order to make sure that the students, staff, and visitors of that campus always go home the way they came, safe and unharmed and unimpacted. We're bringing creative solutions for the design team in via option studies, value engineering, and all that local and very accurate information from the marketplace. It's a very changing world. It's a continuously changing world. And, it's our job to be able to provide that real-time information to you, the district, the design team, who are the decision makers. We're information providers. And so that's something that we like to provide. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we bring a lot of our technical tools and experience and expertise to bear to make sure that, your project is going to be as biddable, constructible, and ultimately as successful as possible through our pre-construction services.
Next slide, please.
I'm going to speak briefly to really just communication. And it seems like more often than not on a construction project, when you have an issue, it can always be traced back to a lapse in communication somewhere along the way. So on the left, you see it's a slide on cost and schedule reporting. And really, our teams,
it'll pop out.
Okay. Our teams are, if you can go to the next slide, our teams are very adept at really just crafting customizable reports to accommodate the client's needs as best we can. We're very comfortable sitting in these types of positions and understanding the reporting requirements that have to come back to the board. So just communicating these types of issues or information back to the client and being as transparent as possible throughout the process. Next slide, please. And then next on the right, if you'd click one more time, this is just an example of a communication tool that we use to reach out to the neighborhoods and the communities that we work in. Similarly, if we find that if we can keep the communities informed of the progress on the project, we are able to stay out ahead of any potential disruptions or any upset neighbors or community members. And all, more importantly than that, potentially, is that when we communicate with the community about the status of the project, we find that it creates excitement and buy-in from those community members to kind of join us along the process. Next slide.
Next few slides are just a little bit of project experience, beginning with the Truckee Unified School District's Truckee High School Modernization Project. It's a project that we're finishing up here in December. It's a nearly $35 million leaseback successful project, much like Arboga with additions and renovations, but it's on an active campus, at least prior to COVID. Next slide, please. The other project for that district is the Tahoe Lake Elementary School project. Somewhat similar to value to Arboga, it too has a significant amount of additions and renovations, and it was a Core and Burko project. Next slide, please.
Yeah, this is Matt Roth, Burko Constructors. This is a project we completed for the district as a leaseback general contractor. That was an addition to renovations at UB Gardens Middle School for the library and gym. Next slide. The Dixon Unified School District, the middle school project is a high school conversion, almost 84,000 square feet into a new middle school with significant site improvements that we're completing. Next slide.
Thanks, Matt. Just talking about what we call operational excellence, it's the measure of those six factors on the left: safety, quality, schedule, costs, subcontractors, and clients. And their associated goal. For sake, we're just gonna focus on the safety, cost, and client piece, beginning with safety, logistics. Next slide, please.
So this is what we call a site logistics plan, and this relates back to what I was previously speaking to in terms of communication. Safety is the number one most important thing on an active school campus. We've operated on hundreds of active campuses, and we're very adept at creating these communication pieces to work with the district staff and the school employees to create barriers between school operations and construction operations so that we can efficiently execute the construction scope of work while allowing the school operations to efficiently operate as well. This is a living document that is continuously updated and managed with input from the school staff. Again, just creating that communication piece. If you keep clicking through a couple of times, it will show the evolution. This is the first phase where we're working on, in the center there, you can see the location for the new multi-purpose building addition and the parking area out in front. And if you click to the next slide, it will bring up phase two, where this is when the school is back in session next fall. You see that parking lot on the front of the existing school area is in operation, where we're continuing to work on the multi-purpose building and classroom wings and the adjacent play fields. We're going to try to actually expand the scope of the parking lot improvements if we can in that first summer to get as much of that work done as we possibly can. Next slide, please. This is moving into phase three, where the play fields are complete. You can see our footprint for our building operations are kind of shrunk down there, working on the multi-purpose building and the classroom wing, but opening up the access for the students to utilize those newly constructed play fields. And then next slide, please. This is projected for the summer of 2022. Kids are off campus where we're finishing up the multi-purpose building and the new classroom wing additions and in advance of the 2022-23 school year. Next slide.
Thanks, Travis. The next is cost. Next slide, please.
So some of the things that we do in pre-construction, as I mentioned earlier, is accurate cost estimates. You know, cost reporting in pre-construction is important to make sure that the client's budget, your budget for this project and the design are in line. based on the scope and the marketplace. And so the first thing that we do is we go through and we quantify the documents. This is an example of some of the different quantification we've already begun to do on this project to make sure that we have a good understanding of the scope of work, the scale of that work, you know, all the details, so that way we're putting it into an accurate cost model. As you can see, we touch everything from structure to, you know, the architectural, civil site, all the way into the MPEs, where we have expertise in-house to be able to bring that information as quickly and as efficiently as possible to the team. Next slide. So what that information then goes to inform is, this is what we call our back sheet summary. And so this summary page is a high level kind of summary of all the information. It's all the quantities developed into all these different scopes of work. These are all the different scopes of work associated to the project at hand here with Arboga. We kind of provide some additional breakouts between the site costs, building costs. We do that just from a communication standpoint and understanding of where the money is being spent on these projects. And so if you'll click one more time, it'll kind of scroll down. You can see there's, you know, something around 40 different trade scopes of work that would be involved on a project like this, you know, 40 or 50. And it's an extensive amount of effort and work. And we try to make sure that this is a living document as well. So as changes occur in the drawings and the design, we're providing these kind of updates and showing the evolution of the design and the cost model for this project. Next slide.
Thanks, Michael. Really, just in closing, go ahead and click one more time, I think. It's focused on the client, and that the client would hire us back again. And so we're not confused on who the real client is here, the students of Marysville and Arboga in specific. And this is just an example of what we took some PBK design documents and rendered them into sketches for these students here to put their best artistry towards. And, you know, we're very passionate about serving the communities that we work in and giving back to the schools that we build. So with that, that's kind of the close on who CORE is and what we want to provide to you, the district, and we're open to any questions that you might have.
Hey, thank you, Seth. So as you can see, we're pretty excited about getting this project moving, and there's a lot to offer through CORE Construction. So with that, we'll go open up for any questions that the board might have.
Board members, questions or comments?
No, I would just like to say that, you know, it's nice to see us back in Lee's League back again. Thanks for your hard work. Welcome aboard, CORE. And Travis, who was on your committee of six people?
It would be, we had, let's see, it was Brian Horn in purchasing. There was myself. There was Gary from PBK, Kim Johnson from PBK. Let me think. I don't have a list in front of me. And then Penny Lossing. Sorry, Penny. There she is. Sorry. So, yeah, so that was the committee. So, and like I said, it was several hours of going through and scoring this. So it was based on best valued scoring. And we were absolutely blown away by CORE's interview and their scoring.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other board members, questions or comments?
Well, this is Andy Davis, and the question that I have is the whole business of overruns. And we're looking at that budget, it's a pretty tight budget on the whole project. And so I just, the one question I have is, you know, how sure were we going to be able to stay within the budget we've allocated?
Great question, Mr. Davis. That is what's great about this value engineering and bringing CORE Construction on board right now, is that's what they're here to do, to make sure we stay within budget. And I, you know, I'm not going to hold CORE to this, but from what I've researched on them, they're notorious for, you know, not change ordering districts, and they're very accurate on what their cost estimates are. So the idea of bringing them on board now in the middle of design, we're 50%, is they're here to ensure we don't go over, that we are value engineering this project, so we don't end up $2 million over budget or $3 million over budget, that we really get a project of what we're anticipating for the deliverable to be is to be at the price set. So I feel very confident moving forward, and that's how we're going to keep this within budget. And that's the main reason why we brought, you know, Core Construction on board early on, so we can value engineer this thing and get what we want.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, just one brief one, please. Is there a tentative date currently for completion, or am I trying to be too optimistic here?
No. So currently what we're going to do is when we come back to the board for the next to finalize the lease documents, hopefully by that time we'll have somewhat of a schedule of values put together, a solid definitive construction schedules that we can share with the board and the community. So right now I don't want to throw any dates out there until we actually dive into this, which will be coming up very shortly. So we'll have more accurate dates. So I don't want to get ahead of myself and shoot out dates, but I know that we're tracking on schedule for the summer. I think it was 2022.
Thank you, Travis. And just one note, that facility is just going to be fantastic, in my opinion. If there's anybody from the Yuba County supervisors out there listening, it'd be nice if we could get some sidewalks, at least somewhere, so there would be complete safety for our kids that walk to our Bogus school and back. But the parking, the restrooms, soccer fields, everything, first rate. Well done, Core. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? I would like to thank Travis for all the hard work that you're doing on this, and welcome aboard, Core, and we look forward to working with you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, if there's no more questions or comments, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second by Brenda Davis.
Second by Mr. Davis. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Yes. Trustee Vogel? It's furry. I would like to. Glad.
But who do we have talking? Oh, Jim, did you have a question? Looks like he froze up, Jim.
Yeah. Oof.
We're going to see if we get that fixed, Jim.
Second. Flurry.
Jim, did you have a comment for us? Mr. Williams is.
No, I was going to just make a comment. I don't know if I was muted or what.
Jim, it's kind of difficult to understand.
Can you hear me now?
We're going to go along with, go ahead with the
vote. I think I'm muted again. Okay.
Is my motion still on the floor, Mr. President?
Okay, so we have a motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. We have a second by Mr. Davis.
Yeah, but first I'm muted. I don't know how to unmute it.
We can hear you now, Jim, if you want to make a comment.
Was Brian able to get it unmuted?
Yes, we can hear you, Jim. Go ahead.
Oh, they're staying okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go right ahead, Jim. Rusty, you can hear us.
To follow what Jeff said, I'm glad that we're going back to lease back. I was on the board and we did all the buildings throughout the district and we did lease. I'm glad that we're doing lease-leaseback again. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead. Hey,
I can hear you.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, we're going to go back and
go with a vote.
We have a motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. We have a second by Mr. Davis. Trustee Davis voted yes. Trustee Bowen?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Can you hear me now?
Trustee Fleury, what's your vote, Jim? Jim,
you can hear me now, right?
Yes, I can hear you, Jim.
Go ahead with the vote.
What is your vote, Jim? Jim, if you would like to vote, let's see. Can you raise your hand, Jim? It looks like you're frozen.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your vote, Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen? Motion carries 7 yes.
Yes. I vote yes. Yes.
Okay, that's our last item.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
Well, we'll work on it and get it ready for you next time, Mr. Fleury.
Right there. Yes.
Okay, meeting adjourned.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.